Let's change tack for a moment and speak matters food. Joining me in studio is private chef Neil Anthony. Hello.
Hello, sir.
How are you, good sir?
I'm good. It's been way too long.
It has been far, far too long.
It's been far too long since I've been up this time on Saturday morning.
I can imagine, because you would have been cooking until
Lord knows what time. I've already been running this morning.
Have you been running this morning?
Yeah.
Why? Are you training for something?
No, just general keeping fit.
Yeah. And all of that.
Eating all that food in the book, I tell you what.
It is a wonderful book, by the way, and truly some of the pictures are incredible. So let me ask the obvious question first. If I were to try out one of these recipes, would they come out like this?
Similar, I'd hope, yeah. I mean, it might take you more than one go to make it look exactly like I made it look. But I mean, if you kept on practicing, I'm pretty sure you could get it there.
Of course.
It tastes just as good, though.
What inspired the book?
Sure, a lot of things. I mean, at the end of the day, it's also really a sort of supply and demand thing. I mean, you've got the TV shows now and all that sort of stuff running, and people just kept on asking, when's the book coming out? So I just thought, yeah, let's do it. Inspiration is really just, I mean, what's around us at the moment. The book's not chaptered in terms of like breakfast, lunch, dinner, or it's not chaptered in terms of like meat, fish, veg. It's, you know, it's got some sort of cool headings. I mean, it's like we do open fire food. We do sort of shared sort of plate style. There's an express section. So there's little foster meals. So, I mean, just also wanted to do a really sort of chefy cookbook. I don't think there's enough South African, like really chefy style books out. I mean, there's some really cool, like not bashing anyone. There are some really good ones out. But I just felt that there needed to be a real sort of a beautiful, beautiful, big South African, really chefy cookbook.
A chefy cookbook that... Yeah. Somebody who has not trained as a chef will
exactly.
be able to
access. I didn't train as a chef, so anyone can do it.
And then do it as well. And so how did you get to decide on the recipes that you've put together?
That was pretty simple, actually. I mean, they're all 100% brand new content, so nothing from the show, nothing from the website, so it's all brand new. And really, I mean, once we decided on the basic like chapters, I mean, like I said, we've got open fire, we've got ocean, we've got shared and all those sort of things. Once we decided on those headings sort of chapters, then it just flowed really. I wrote them in about half an hour.
Really?
Yeah. Well, I wrote the headers in about half an hour.
Good point.
Yeah.
How long is the process of creating a recipe? Look, I imagine. No, there's no new thing really in the world anymore. So you take a classic and then adapt. So, but how long did the lamb, fire, potatoes, pomegranate, for example, recipe take you to dream up?
To dream up, not so long. I mean, once we had the open fire section, then you know you think to yourself, okay, we need some lamb, we need some beef, we need an ostrich, we need some fish and that sort of section and stuff. Okay, so you just come up with these things and, I mean. Yeah, it's crazy. So, you know, some of my mates call me the recipe Rain Man. So when I sit down and I just like go, okay, cool, we're going to do lamb. And then I'm like, okay, what's it going to do with the lamb? And then I sort of look around and I sort of think back and stuff like that. And I'm like, oh, pomegranate, yogurt, spring onions, blah, blah, blah. And they all just sort of, you know, come together and then the dishes are there.
It certainly looks beautiful. Here it has lamb shoulder, salt to taste, olive oil, baby potatoes, creme fraiche, pomegranate seeds, as well as five spring onions.
Yeah.
And the method is actually quite simple. I mean, you say it's a chefy book, but...
That's the thing. The recipes, I mean, you know, I wrote the recipes with a couple of other people. And the thing is, you know, chefs aren't complicated people. I mean, that's the thing. It's very sort of... It's beautifully written in terms of how the recipes are written, but they're very put a bullet point form. So it's like boil potatoes, do this. Mm. It's not sort of too laborious, and you know, it's not sort of Nigella's sort of real sort of sexy way of cooking. Although, you know, the end product is just as sexy. It's just the fact that it's very sort of chefy in terms of do this. It's sort of bullet point and to the point.
The one that I'm definitely gonna try is the beef cheek cauliflower raisins. Which is also an interesting thing, by the way, of you titling the because you almost that's what's in the recipe.
That's exactly
so therefore,
what's in. There's no
you don't you know, come up with crazy names
with
or anything
and give it another name and stuff. Literally, what's in the heading is in the recipe, and then you go for it.
How easy is it to get beef cheek? I mean, I know where I would go and
simple.
Get it.
I mean,
in
nowadays, you wouldn't be able to get it in a supermarket, but I mean, just go to your butcher, and you know what I always say is, you know, be a little bit prepared. I mean, if you know you want to make that on the weekend, then you know, get hold of them during the week and say, you only beef cheek for me. If they don't, I'll get some in for you. And, you know, it's just about being a tiny bit more prepared.
And how easy is it to cook?
That beef cheek dish, yeah, the beef cheeks obviously take a while to cook because, you know, the cheek is a very sort of working muscle. So there's a lot of tendon in there. There's a lot of, you know, sinew that you've got to break down. I actually pressure cook it. So I pressure cook it for like an hour. I mean, the new sort of pressure cookers are the best thing ever. I mean, you can really cook things like cheeks and oxtail and stuff in sort of record time. You can do it a real sort of low, slow braise for a good sort of 5-6 hours or just blast it in a pressure cooker.
Squid lentil pico adobo. Yep. What in heaven's name is that?
So that's just really beautiful baby squid. And then it's a sort of Mexican-inspired salsa. So a pico de gallo is a real sort of classic Mexican salsa. It's really simple. It's that sort of that thing you see in all Mexican dishes, all Mexican restaurants. It's that sort of general salsa, you know, the tomato, the onion, the sort of peppers, the chili and stuff like that. But I just sort of fold some lentils through it and give it a bit more body and get a bit more sort of earthiness. And then the adobo is that classic Mexican mayonnaise.
A flourless chocolate fondant, avocado. That's avocado, an interesting combination. I mean, I've had so people who are vegans and all that kind of thing.
They love it,
use avocado in a dessert context, and I've tasted.
That's more of a substitute thing for them. Yeah, that's really just a more. So avocados are extremely luxurious. The problem is, you know, we add like salt and chili and coriander, which is awesome. But what you understand is that avocado is a real sort of neutral flavor, so it adds a lot of sort of luxury if you just puree it with a little bit of creme fraiche and a little bit of sugar. And the fondant recipe I actually stole from Heston. He actually did it on the Discovery Channel about sort of 15 years ago before he was famous, before cooking became cool. He did a flourless fondant. And then, I mean, it was, you know, that was sort of the world of gastronomy. If you could do a flourless chocolate cake, you were a hero.
And this is not you necessarily endorsing Banting, for example.
You're just realizing there's a great number of people who are going that route,
therefore make available some recipes.
For sure. Look, I mean, there's a lot of gluten in that book. I won't lie. There's
not, a lot of potato.
Yeah, it's heavy gluten. It's full gluten, full potato, full fat. But yeah, really, at the end of the day, it's just a collection of great recipes. It's a collection of amazing pictures, and yeah, really good, solid cookbook.
Now, one of the recipes is a fish dish requires a blowtorch.
Yeah.
And I went, but I don't have a blowtorch. And you went,
everyone should have a blowtorch.
Yeah. So if everyone is supposed to have a blowtorch, what are the other good apparatus, if you like, that you need to have in your kitchen in order to create good food all the time?
Well, I'd say, you know, you need a really good nonstick pan. A really good solid chef's knife, one that's, you know, nice and sharp and it's got a good bit of weight behind it. I would go with, for this book especially, I mean, you need, you know, just go and buy like a couple of little squeezy bottles and you can make it quite fancy. You can put your purees in there and you'd sort of dot them on the plate and, you know, a couple of little sort of chefy things that we do that can make your food just a little more exciting to the eye as well. And yeah, just buy the book and then you'll know. That's what you need. You don't need anything else.
You are self-publishing this
book.
Yeah. The book, by the way, is Private Chef, Neil Anthony Defined. The process of self-publishing, why that decision? And
freedom.
How more is it?
Yeah,
it gives you the freedom to do whatever you want with the
whatever
book.
Whatever you want, yeah. It's a lot more freedom, basically. That's what it gives you.
Because the styling is amazing, by the way.
Beautiful,
the shots that whoever was taking the pictures of the food.
Yeah, Mickey Hoyle, yeah.
Wants you to... Because... I suppose more and more recipe books are becoming about stories, right?
Yeah.
People tell narratives about certain things and it becomes this incredible experience that you go through. This book is about food.
Definitely,
And what is plated.
There's a couple of little lifestyle shots in there of me sort of messing around and stuff. But I mean, otherwise it's purely food focused.
All right. So where can people find it?
You can get it on my website, which is www.neilanthony.com. It's N-E-I-L-L. We will be putting into a couple of little select bookstores in and around Cape Town, and we'll have a Joburg launch and we'll do some really cool stuff around it. And yeah, we're just going to have fun with it.
How was the Good Food and Wine Show?
It was awesome. Yeah, we had a great response. We sold, apart from Marco, I think we sold the most books. Yeah, it was really cool. It's a great show. I mean, I think we're in Joburg at the end of next month. You know, everyone's coming back. Jan is coming down again. He's amazing. And yeah, it's just a really cool show. Everyone gets to interact. I think the most important thing with the show is, you know, everyone's like, you know, why is it so cool? And you know, yeah, people sort of, you know, genuinely they'll see you out and about and, you know, they'll say sort of hi or whatever. But, you know, when you're at that show, it's just that whole sort of feeling. So when everyone's there, everyone's like on like super hyper foodie mode. So whenever they see someone that they've seen on TV or they see the books, they feel a lot more at ease just to come up to you and talk to you and they ask you about stuff. And so it's just, you know, being in that environment just makes people a whole lot, not friendlier, but they just makes them a whole lot more sort of approachable.
What is very good to notice is that this foodie wave that we went through is now subsiding and actually normal people are cooking. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like it's yes, you want beautiful tastes and flavors, but you're not necessarily going to travel for 500 kilometers before you find that mushroom that you will add to your, I don't know, trout to improve the experience. People are playing with their food more.
Exactly. I mean, that's the thing, you know, that's also with this book. I mean, you know, you don't need to follow the recipe to the point, to the T. I mean, just you know, read the whole thing. I mean, I think I'd say there's somewhere that, I mean, it's really, it's a guideline. I mean,
yeah,
you know, if you like the beef cheek dish, but you don't like cauliflower, then, you know, do it with the garnish from the pork or something like that. You know what I mean? So you got
to be sort silly. Of, cauliflower yeah. and beef cheek exactly. go very well together.
They do. What's they go wrong? Beautifully well together.
And what happens next in terms of television for you?
Yeah, so we're in pre-production for the season 3 of my show, Private Chef. We'll shoot that. I go to the UK August, September, October. I work on a private grouse hunting estate up in the north of England. So I do that little stint. That's sort of my thing. And then, yeah, when I get back, we'll shoot The Private Chef again, and then we will shoot another show, which is in the pipeline. So hopefully we'll shoot 2 more shows before the end of the year. And then next year we'll shoot another 3.
Wow, you are a very busy man. Thank you very much for making time after
you
your run this
me.
Morning
yeah.
to come in.
Rocked
it's a beautiful, beautiful
Thank
book.
Thank you very much.
Private Chef, Neil Anthony Defined. Go to his website to order. They will be in select bookstores in the
yeah.
next coming weeks.
Now, if you're in Cape Town, I'll possibly even bring it to you.
That's nice. That's very nice. That's very kind of you.
I have done a couple of deliveries already.
Thank you very much, Neil Anthony.